Okay, your mic's on. You got your mic on?
I do.
I can't hear you, so get your mic close.
I have my mic on.
Okay, so anyways, exactly, all right, refresh my memory and tell me, okay, exactly, all right, I'm kind of confused. What did you want to talk about again? Tell me. Because
okay.
I'm confused. I mean, honestly, I really am. Because we've talked about so much stuff, I don't even know what you want to talk about for sure.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk about, I guess we're going to talk about a couple things, which is okay if we kind of bring a couple. Oh, just a second there. Hey, Robin.
Robin. I told you it's your shoelaces, you know. They stick out. They're like a chew toy. I don't know what to do about it.
Robin. Stop.
Robin, no.
Okay. So, we're going to talk about some things regarding fear and love. There's a scripture that talks about perfect love casts out all fear.
And exactly what does that mean?
Well, like we were talking about before the show, and this is, again, one of the...
Robin?
Just kick her away.
This is one of the main things that we find that religion does.
No.
Is religion helps you to feel good about something,
Robin,
that you don't actually experience. And okay. that seems to be something that far too many of us are fighting against, is the idea that we love to worship an idea instead of worshiping God. We get stuck worshiping, in a sense, and thank God for the Bible, but we get stuck worshiping the Bible at the expense of actually worshiping God.
Talk. you are so distracted by this puppy.
I'm laughing. So anyhow, this is really interesting part of the show here, but we definitely had some really good conversation about this earlier and how easy it is for people to lose their confidence. And confidence is something that we don't see a lot of today, especially in the church world. And that's because we don't see a lot of answers to prayers. We don't see people getting and receiving things like they should. Again, it spins, and the whole thing spins with this out of control idealism, worshiping an idea, being content with the idea of having something from God, but actually not actually attaining it or possessing it. And this is what I want to discuss tonight in a couple of different ways. And there's some really good scriptures that can help us see that Jesus dealt with this in his day too. Hey, Robin,
take your shoes off. Just take them off.
Okay.
Just pull your shoes off and put them up on the chair, because
hey,
she's not going to leave you alone, because your shoelaces stick out to the sides like a chew toy. So just take your shoes off. If you want to email the show, folks, the email address to the show is theabidingpresence@gmail.com. All one word. And so just send us an email if you want to text the show. The first word that you type in your text message is Ranger, R-A-N-G-E-R, Ranger, who passed away a few months ago. And it's still her texting job. So first word you type in your text is Ranger. And then when you press the send button for your text, you just type in 99000. That's 99 and three zeros. So the first word you type in your text is Ranger. And then when you press the send button, it's 99000. And so that's all you got to do to send us an email or a text and be a part of tonight's broadcast, and we hope that you are.
Okay, so did any of that make sense? I know that I was a little distracted.
No, you really kind of bounced around. I'm not sure how to make a show of this. What, I mean, you talked about how you wanted to talk about fear. you wanted to talk about.
Well, first of all, if we started right there with
no confidence,
our scripture with perfect love casts out fear.
Okay.
Okay, and like we talked about earlier, you know, again, the hey, Robin, I'm not doing this anymore. You're biting my actual feet now.
Stop. No.
So, I bet you people are just laughing their heads off.
Well, you got to talk. You're not talking.
At the idea of what's happening.
Here, come here.
So, here's again just some interesting thought. Going back to 1 John in chapter 4, where it says, perfect love casts out fear. Well, God's love is perfect. We know that. But an individual actually experiencing perfect love is when they're acknowledging and enjoying the actual love of God. You could say God's love is a part of the full work of Jesus, the healing to our body, the salvation to our life, the blessing in our life, the freedom from all the worldly cares, the wonderful blessed hope of living forever in heaven with God forever. All that's a part of God's love. But perfect love, casting out fear, is your experiencing of it. In fact, think of it this way. How many people do you know that can tell you every blessing and all the promises that are in the Bible that we should be experiencing, and yet, to be honest with you, they're not experiencing any of them? Very few of them. Do they ever have a prayer answered? So see, if you're going to cast out fear, fear gets cast out when something else is more real. And that's where we went back, BJ. We were talking about confidence, kind of like a little bit like a teeter-totter.
Right.
On one hand, if you lose your confidence, the next thing that you're going to have is
stop.
The next thing that you're going to have is fear. It's either confidence or fear, one of the two. And like a teeter-totter, the more confidence you have, the less fear you'll have. The more fear you have, it's because you're not experiencing God like we ought to experience Him. And I think really if we, and I know we do this all the time, we look at the Bible from a very broad perspective, even though we could nitpick every little thing in it. But from a broad perspective, isn't the Bible showing us and revealing to us the opportunity for everyone to have a real experience with God? And the greater your experience with God, the less fear you're going to have. I think this is pretty much a part of what I'd like to share tonight.
Well, what kind of fear? I mean, you're being so broad, I don't know.
Well, not like fear, like being afraid in the dark. The lack of confidence, the fear that your faith doesn't work, your fear that your prayers won't work, intimidated with.
But the reason people have that fear and they have no confidence is because their prayers don't work.
I know, and they don't see anybody else's.
And they're not getting any better, and no matter where they go, where they turn.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of people that listen to the show. Their prayers, they've been listening for 3 years, and their prayers still aren't working.
Correct.
And so, I mean, misery loves company, and lack of confidence in yourself is like a cancer. It grows. And there's a major support system for lack of confidence and fear. Because most people have a lot of both. Mm-hmm. They're afraid of all kinds of things. They have all kinds of apprehensions and fears and no confidence.
Right.
And it's very hard for them to get confidence. Open up the door. Maybe she'll just leave. If she keeps bothering you. So the point being here is that I'm trying to see what the point is that organized religion is great at welcoming failure and the lack of success.
Yes.
Are you bleeding?
No, but I'm putting my shoes on, but with my laces inside.
That you go somewhere and you're in a room full of people that are all dressed up nice, and they call the place a church, and it's not a church. I don't care what you want to call it. They're not a church, because there's very little that has anything to do with Christ in these buildings, in these businesses, these corporations that run them, because they're inefficient. I mean, can you imagine? Okay, put yourself in the place of God. Let's say that you're Christ, you're Jesus, you're the Holy Spirit, you're grace. You're one of the four of them, and for the sake of this conversation, it really doesn't matter.
Right.
You're one of these four guys, and you're looking at a room with hundreds of people, and week in and week out, hour after hour of their lives, year after year, decade after decade, they're worshiping and they're participating, and it's nothing but a giant bucket of lack of success.
Lack of success, yeah, failure.
And they're afraid that they're going to go to hell. They're scared that maybe there isn't a God. They're afraid that they're a bad person because they've done something that nobody knows about, or people are just so religiously paranoid.
Sure.
And if you're one of those guys, you're not going to look at this business and say, this is a representative of my book and who I am. There is nothing in Scripture, there's nothing about Christ that says sometimes it ain't going to work right.
Right.
Or take a number, you're going to have to wait. Or well, maybe just a little bit. And part of the plan B that makes these giant religious corporations work is when they say, well, it's not, we shouldn't question Christ. It's not our job to question God. We're just mere mortals, and we're not supposed to really understand the plan of Jesus.
Right.
We've said this on the show, and I know that it might be confusing for people, or they might even think it's a little odd, but I'm serious when I say this. There are many places, well, there's a few places in the book that says all prayers are answered.
Sure.
Ask and you shall receive.
Right.
You will do greater works than me.
Right.
You are made in my image. We are made in the image of God. Well, all that leads to one thing. We're supposed to do wondrous things for ourselves and others.
Correct.
We're not supposed to just sit back on our fat back pockets and say, it's not for me to question God. Well, it's God's will. I'm just a mere mortal. It's not up to me to worry about this. It's just the opposite. We're supposed to step up and enjoy the power of God, which is His love,
sure,
to enjoy it and to take it forward. That's testimony.
Right.
And it talks about what a real church is. When a group of people that have a connection with grace come together somewhere and they brag about their accomplishments and their relationship with God. That is a lot different than going somewhere, listening to a band, and looking at a movie screen with Scripture just pulled out of the hat.
Sure.
They're not the same.
Right.
And so what happens is I completely understand when somebody says, I don't think God loves me. I don't think God hears me. Well, He doesn't, because you don't hear yourself. You can't have love for God, you can't have confidence in Christ, if you don't love yourself and you don't have confidence in yourself. Because if you have a lack of confidence and you feel bad about yourself, what you're really saying is you have no confidence and you feel bad in what was made in God's image that will do greater works than Him.
Right. You don't respect how God made you.
You don't acknowledge it.
Right.
And so I understand why people get discouraged. I understand why people have I don't know, I guess lose their motivation. I mean, I understand why somebody would just say, I've been doing this so long and I've tried and I've gone so many places, it's just not working.
Sure.
You know, because, I mean, it sounds kind of crass, but it's really true. As much effort and work that the world thinks that an individual has to do to have a relationship with God, it is a major undertaking with lots of sacrifices and lots of changes. And you know what? From a common sense standpoint, it's a lot funner and easier to go to hell than it is to try to get to heaven. It's just, it's a tough road to hoe. And it's not supposed to be that way. It isn't. It's just all. And after 2,000 years, it's been distorted and manipulated purposely.
Right.
For two reasons. To either control the average citizen who pays taxes, the worker bees, the 99%, not the 1%, not the millionaires, the billionaires, the kings, the queens, or the monarchs, or the princesses, or princesses. It's about the average person that lived in a grass hut. Mm-hmm. And that has transcended to the average person that lives in a house with curbs, gutters, and sidewalks, and needs a paycheck every week. To control that person, and at the same time, covet as much money and property as possible to sustain that power. That's what organized religion's goal has always been. There has been more wars fought because some person in a robe at a pulpit said that it was the thing to do.
Yeah, things definitely got out of kilter. I mean, you go back as far as you'd want to, but you can actually find everything BJ just talked about, the organizing out of the small churches and groups of people that were experiencing things. You can see the organizing of all these groups into one local group that was called a church or a sanctuary or someplace, you know, where they had their services and where someone was controlling it instead of God controlling it. And this has gone on for hundreds of years, and actually more than 1,000 years. So the opportunity for us today to actually know what was a real experience is somewhat hopeless. I've got a scripture here in Proverbs 13:12 that says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, and when the desire comes, it is a tree of life." So if you've been dwelling in and you've been going places where you don't see many people receiving answers, or it's not common to see an individual receive an answer by faith in God alone, well, it's very possible that hope deferred has made your heart sick, where you've lost confidence. Yeah. I believe that's what that means.
Well, let's open up the show. Start the show.
Okay.
There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Today's date, the 5th of January, 2016. It is about 21, 22 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, our first show of the new year. And, well, it just started off a little different. And, well, we don't need to give you a Robin report. As you can tell, she's healthy and extremely active. And she's got issues with shoelaces tonight. Right now, she's relaxed. She's calmed down. She's laying in the middle of the floor with, and I wish I could remember, and I'm very apologetic about it, but one of the listeners sent a box with a lot of stuff in it, and one of the things was a small, half-sized tennis ball drilled through the center and a rope tied and knotted on either end. And it is still Ranger's favorite thing to play with, and she's got it here in the barn. And Sue, whoever that listener was who sent it, thank you very much for doing that. As you can tell, we started the show off a little odd and different tonight. And honestly, I wish I could give you some really profound reason why we started the show like that. And I don't know, it was 8 o'clock, and I just flipped on the switches and told Jim to talk into the microphone. We're talking about fear and confidence because if you ever meet anybody that says they're not afraid of anything, well, they're either a fool or they're an idiot or they're extremely dangerous. And whatever the reason is that they say they're not afraid of anything, you really want to stay away from that person. Because everybody has fears. I don't like high places. I have no patience, no inclination to be around snakes. Some people are afraid of the dark. Some people are afraid of heights like me. Some people are afraid of small, tight spaces like closets. There's all kinds of phobias and fears. They've given names to everything. But everybody has something that gives them apprehension, that takes their self-confidence away. Next to the power of love is the power of fear. And Jim, there's a scripture that talks about what takes fear away is the perfect.
Yeah, I've got the whole thing in context. I think you'll really like it. It's 1 John chapter 4, 17 and 18 and 19. And it says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. In other words, he made us just like himself. And when we accept Christ as our Savior, at that moment, he perfects in us the same work he did in Christ. So we're just like him, which means prayers answered, favor with God, grace everywhere, health and healing, and our life takes on the same type of life that Jesus did, where wonderful things happen to him personally as well as those that came in contact. And then it goes on to say, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. I think that's really good.
It is. As we talk about fear tonight and lack of confidence, and I don't know, it's kind of like talking about fear and lack of confidence is kind of like saying potato, potato, tomato, tomato. It's like the same word meaning the same things. But I don't think it does, because I deal with a lot of fear and a lot of confidence issues. I've spent the majority of my life working with horses who had lack of confidence and fear in people. They were afraid of people, the people that owned them, because they'd been physically or mentally abused. And the flip side to that coin was, is I've dealt with a lot of people who were hurt by a horse and they were afraid. Maybe they'd spent their whole life with horses and they loved them and it was a major part of their life, and all of a sudden a big accident happened and they no longer could be around their horse because they were afraid the same thing was going to happen. It reminded them of the pain, the hospital bills, the doctor bills. It reminded them of everything that was happening. So a lack of confidence and fear can be the same thing, but they can be different. But all through the history of man, a lack of fear and a lack of confidence has always been a point of leverage to control the masses, to control the average person, to make them feel that the only way their fear or lack of confidence could be diminished or could be dealt with was to listen and obey some organization or another person's point of view. And frankly, that's not the case at all. We've talked for years on this radio show about how it's an individual journey, that your relationship with God is personal, that it's nobody's business but yours. We're children of Christ. He thinks of us as his children. He wants us to think of him as his father. So would you allow your brother or sister to intercede in how you dealt or what experiences or what you shared with your mom or dad? No. You'd say, mind your own business. This relationship is mine. So subsequently, a fear or lack of confidence is really the responsibility of each of us to deal with. Because your lack of confidence on your ability to have a prayer answered, your fear that your illness or your pain or a children's health issue or a parent's health issue or a best friend or someone you know is hospitalized, your lack of confidence to help them and they want you to pray for them. And when you say, will you please pray for me? And you say, well, of course I will. And as soon as you hang up the phone, you know that you're going to pray, but you don't want to tell anybody this, and it makes you really sad. You know that you're going to pray, but you also don't expect results.
Right, right.
Now, hell or Satan, or negative energy, as I call it, because that's what it is. It's energy that is negative. It loves that lack of confidence.
Right.
It lacks that ability for a person to say, well, of course I'll pray for you. And you hang up the phone and you pray and you know they're going to die. You know they're not going to get better. Well, that's not a prayer.
Right.
Where is your confidence in Christ? Where is your confidence in yourself to know, to understand Scripture that you've read? All prayers are answered. Ask and you shall receive. And what nobody really addresses, Jim, that I find very sad and very perplexing, is that lack of confidence and fear, if you have it in one part of your life, it's in all parts of your life.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a fear or lack of confidence at your job, or a fear or lack of confidence in your schoolwork, a lack of confidence or fear in a romantic relationship or friendship, or you have a fear and lack of confidence in your automobile,
right,
it will affect your life.
It's very contagious, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm going to put it to you this way because there's no other way to put it in it, and I think that some listeners will agree with this. It's like walking down a sidewalk and you step in a pile of dog manure and it's on your shoe. No matter if you cross the street, you try to scrape it off with a stick, you try to scuff your shoe off in somebody's lawn, no matter the rest of your walk, you smell dog manure.
Mm-hmm.
And when someone gets close to you, they smell it. And there's enough on your shoe that every once in a while, if you step on somebody's rug, you get in somebody's car, their floor mat is going to smell like what you stepped in. It's a stink that you can't get rid of. Well, fear and lack of confidence sticks to you like that. And it's past. You know, have you ever walked into a room and everybody is smiling and laughing? The first thing you do is you get a smile on your face and you're lighthearted and your mind's distracted and you want to know what is so funny. What's everybody laughing at? The same thing is true on the flip side. You're in a really good mood. You walk into a room. Everybody is sad and upset. The first thing you do is you lose your comfort of being happy and in a good mood because you say, what's wrong? What's the matter? And all of a sudden, your good mood escapes you. Well, think about what I just said. You walk into a room and everybody is happy and they're laughing and you get a smile on your face and you go, what? What's going on? I could use a good laugh. What are you guys laughing about? And you're already upbeat and you're expected to be happy. Well, why don't you try expecting and thinking to have a relationship with Christ? Look, if you're willing to say that you have been reborn, that you've been baptized, that you've been communionized a million times, and that you are a Christian, why don't you act and think and believe that you are?
Yeah.
Why do you allow negative energy in the world, and this is very true, why do you allow a family member to bring you down? If you have a family member that if you had to place a bet, you'd say they're going to hell for no other reason than they don't believe in God. They're a good person. They're not a sinner. They don't do anything wrong. They just don't believe in God. If you allow a loved one or a total stranger or myself or Jim to bring you down, well, that's ridiculous. No one can take you to God except for you, and no one can keep you from God but you. It is strictly up to you, and it's strictly about you and only you. It's not about anybody else or any other thing but you.
You know, there's a progression.
Did any of that make sense?
Yeah, it did, and I want to go to some things here because I'm staying with this verse for a little bit. There's a whole bunch in it that I just want to share about, and because there was a point in time, and you remember my testimony, when I was at prayer and healing school for the first 3 months, we didn't see hardly anything take place. And the few things that we did see, you know, that happened as far as healings, we really weren't clued in as far as the reason why or having any sense of what we did right in order to do it right again. So it wasn't, you couldn't duplicate it. But anyhow, as the Lord began to teach me, there was a growth process of knowledge that I began to gain about how absolute God was. I'm telling you, everything.